some NCAA tournament, some Tigers, some Pistons, Red Wings even. Look, get to all of it. Overreact Jim's from the weekend. My first one, hand Duke the trophy now. Nobody's beating the Blue Devils. Winning tournament games by 23 points per game. They just beat Bama by 20. They've got the best player. They're more than one player. They're deep. They don't have a weakness. Duke's winning it all.
I had picked Florida at the beginning of this. Now I think it's Duke, and I don't even know that it's going to be close. I'm concerned for Houston and the Cougs as to what happens to them in the Final Four, and whether it's Auburn or Florida, I think Duke just has too much talent. They're playing at too high of a level. They do have the best player in college basketball, but it's not only that. They go 6-7 deep of guys that will be taken in the first round, if not the first, I don't know what, 35, 40 picks of this draft. They are absolutely loaded, and they're playing like it.
I think it's an overreaction. Look, I'm not taking away from Duke. It's simply the respect that there's three other one seeds here. The last time all four ones, the only other time was in San Antonio, 2008, and people were saying the same thing about Memphis and Derrick Rose. They went through annihilated teams in that tournament, and the reality is Mario Chalmers had something to say with the game-winning shot for Kansas. So the respect of the number ones, and I'll go with this too. Joe Lunardi thinks Houston's going to beat Duke, and it's going to be the experience over the inexperience. That Houston's got basically 5 years of extra experience, and that might cause Duke problems in a close game.
It's possible. And watching that Houston game yesterday, you saw that. I mean, they've got a guy that's been there for 6 years. Like, that's unheard of in college basketball.
And if they get Florida in the final, Florida can score with them. Alabama couldn't.
Mew. Tom Izzo will never win another national title. This was the best team he's had in 5 years. Just Father Time is part of this. He's 70 years old. Does he have another five in him? And college sports aren't about building a roster over 3 or 4 years the way he would prefer. He'll never win a title. Another one.
I think it's a bit of an overreaction. I'm not going to say he never wins another title. I think that he does have at least another Final Four in him. You get to that Final Four, and who knows what happens. And it is simply about building a team for next year. And then it's going to be about building a team for the following year. There's not a lot of carryover from year to year. If there's anybody that does have one or two of those guys, it'll be Tom Izzo, which I think will pay off in the end. I'm not predicting that they win one, but I'm not counting them out.
I think it's an overreaction. I'd love to have some answers to some questions about next year's team, because I think next year's team potentially is loaded if Richardson comes back. I love Cohen Carr. Yep. If I could have a guy play for Michigan that plays for Michigan State, give me Cohen Carr all day. And Kohler's back, Holloman's back, Fears Jr.'s back. They could potentially be the number one ranked team heading into the season next year. So I think it's an overreaction.
Oh, we're going to blow you out.
J.B. Bickerstaff must win Coach of the Year. The Pistons tripled their win total from a season ago. They did it with a win on Friday night against J.B.'s old team. They did it without Cade Cunningham. They forged a real rugged identity. It will be one of the great turnarounds in NBA history. He must win Coach of the Year.
How much of it is, could we do this with the Lions, right? How much of it is Dan Campbell? How much of it is Brad Holmes? How much of it is J.B. Bickerstaff? And what he's been able to do with this team, obviously it's boots on the ground, but yeah, I think he must win Coach of the Year. You look at Cleveland, they were loaded. You look at some of these other teams with coaches that are getting, you know, some run in the Coach of the Year. None of them have done the job. And it's not just physical on the floor. It is the mental and emotional side of it. It is what he has been able to do, because they didn't start off hot. They started off and we thought maybe they'll get to 25 wins. He's tripled the win total. He's handled everything from the mind games to the physical games to what a coach has to do to show you he has his back. I think he must win Coach of the Year.
This is not an overreaction. He must win Coach of the Year. Look, all due respect to the Cavs and like Thunder now, I think they both have 60 wins now. Look, they were loaded rosters, like John said. This team has over tripled its wins. They didn't compete the last two seasons. Like, the sadness is just him getting them to care and compete in a young roster. And I think the only other person maybe to consider here would be Udoka with Houston. They're now the two seed in the West. But they've won 41 games last year.
I just, if they're going to give it to the coach with the most wins, it's going to be infuriating because it's this moving target with Detroit coaches. If it's the most wins, Dan Campbell's coach of the year. Well, actually, it's about the guy who achieves the most with the least. Okay, then give it to JB Bickerstaff. Well, no, actually, it's the team that wins the most. Can one of our great coaches win this award? I think Bickerstaff is clearly deserving.
I mean, don't underestimate what Atkinson has done, though, in Cleveland, and that's where JB was.
Right.
Do me. The Pistons are winning a playoff series. This Cade thing isn't serious, right? This calf contusion, it's a day-to-day. He'll be back for the playoffs. They won without him on Friday night against Cleveland. That was the moment where light bulb went off for me. Him healthy, shooting, and their defensive identity is enough to beat anybody but Boston or Cleveland in a seven-game series.
I think they can win one. I don't think this is an overreaction. I think that no matter who they play, whether it's the Pacers, it's the Knicks, it's the Bucks, I think they can win one. And having said that, does it mean, can they possibly win two? I mean, I don't know how it's all going to eventually play out in regards to, do they end up being a 5 seed, a 6 seed, a 4 seed? I think they're pretty secure in that 5 spot. But I like the matchups. I like the intensity that they're playing with, and yet they absolutely, it's not an overreaction. I think they absolutely can win a playoff series.
Well, can is a different word, will. And I think that's an overreaction. I can't put this much on this team. Like, I think the other teams in the East that are floating around them in the seeding right now have a switch to flip that maybe the Pistons don't.
If they play the Pacers or the Knicks, the two most likely opponents, do the Pistons have the best player on the floor in those series? Yes. They do. Pacers are a team that'll go run up and down. The Pistons are the better defensive team, and I would relish the chance to play the Knicks.
I think they could give anybody 6 or 7 games, but to expect them to win, I can't say that.
Grit. The Dodgers. We got to see them up close and personal this week. The Dodgers will set the record for the most wins in a season. 117 is what it would take. They're already 5-0. Lineup's so tough to navigate, even for a good Tiger pitching staff. They get the Rockies a bunch. That team might lose 100 games. Dodgers break the record.
I don't think this is an overreaction. It's the best team money can buy. And when you look at that lineup, 1 through 9, there's no easy out. And you look at the pitching staff, and maybe one of their best pitchers in Shohei hasn't even thrown the ball yet. Do they even need him or use him this year? I think at some point maybe they will. And you don't even know about injuries. That's the wild card in this, is injuries. But they're so deep. I think they do set the record.
I think they do, too. I'm a little puzzled by their pitching. Is it going to hold up? Because the Tigers' lineup was kind of laughable. You know, like, if the Tigers don't end up being a very good hitting team, maybe that's the flag on the Dodgers right now. But that lineup is just so lethal. I mean, Edmund has 3 homers. You know, yeah. They're getting power. Like, he can provide some power, but come on. I actually enjoy watching them, even though it was against the Tigers. Like, I'm not rooting for them to win, but
right.
It's mesmerizing how good they are. I heard Pat over the weekend say, look, this is no joke. This could be the greatest baseball team ever. For Pat to say that?
Yeah, and I mean, you get to the 5 or 6 spot, and that's where they've got Freddie Freeman?
Right.
What?
They tried. Torkelson will be the Tigers' everyday first baseman, logging well over 100 games at the position. Some of this is easy to say because Torres just got hurt, but I think we were trending that way. Colt Keith, 0-10, 5 strikeouts. Tork looks locked in. He's got more power, the higher ceiling. Keith will be the nomad when Torres is healthy.
This is really hard to say. And I on one hand, I want to say it's not an overreaction because he's got a hit in every game. He's batting over 400. And it's a continuation of what we have seen through spring training. So you're starting to believe. And Colt Keith on the other side, if you say that, then you're like, well, Colt Keith will never be any good. But if you look across the Major League Baseball, and here's an example, just because we talked about Boston so much and the controversy they had of who's going to be playing third base, they made Devers their full-time DH. He's 0-16.
So bad.
He's not playing third.
Right.
This is a total example of a guy needs to play his position to hit well.
But my point is, I'm not ready to say Colt Keith is no good. You put him back at second, and maybe he has a little bit more comfort. He finds a rhythm. He's not worried about where he's putting his foot on first base, all that stuff. And if things settle down for him, he's going to be just fine. But I think there is a chance that Torque plays more games, plays over 100 games at first base.
I'll move quick on this one. Define every day.
I said over 100 games at first base.
Okay, so you just said 100. All right. This is an overreaction. Look, they're not going to keep Torkelson out of the lineup, but I don't think they're going to completely pivot from what their defensive plan was, because it just opens up a whole different can of worms with what you do with Torres. I think for now it's an overreaction. Troubling for Keith that he's 0-10 with 5 strikeouts, but it was 3 games.
He's doing the windmill. He's whipping it. He's having a good time. The 2024 Tigers are the 2025 Tigers and vice versa. Only there won't be a miracle this time. Pitching without timely hitting. The Torres injury means they really got no boost. Meadows out half the year. It's 2024 all over again without the miracle.
I'm going to say this is an overreaction only because I don't think they're going to need the miracle. I'm actually a little bit pleasantly surprised at how they played the Dodgers, who I think is going to set the record for the most wins. It'll be very telling what they do in Seattle, and obviously home against the Sox. That's got to be 3 wins against the Sox. You got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. But I think this is a team that's going to hover right around 500. I don't think they're going to dip as much as they did near the All-Star break last year. So I think they're always in it and don't need the miracle.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to need the miracle either. I think they'll be more consistently contending throughout the year, quote contending, I guess, if you want to call it that way. It's just way too early to go to these extremes with the game of baseball. I'll say this. They need to take care of business in Seattle and try to win 2 out of 3. You don't want to get into a hole, like a deeper hole than you really are, even though they look good and they got some moral victories, if you like those kind of things, over the weekend. You just don't want to have a big hole to climb out where you take so much energy just to get back to 500.
In addition to being a creep, he's a moron. The Red Wings will be in the playoff race until the final week, just to torture us. It's more about the weak bubble than it is the Wings being a playoff team. They'll miss it, but they're gonna torture us down the stretch.
They've got 6 games on the road, 3 at home, and the 6 final games are all against teams that are virtually in the playoffs. And they're just, no, I don't think they're going to be in it. I think it's just too much.
This is not an overreaction. And the weakness of the bubble, I think you're dead on with that. I've circled a number. I did it with the Tigers. I'm going to do it with the Red Wings. Can they get the 86 points? That'd be 12 points in 9 games. I think that's barely feasible. Probably not.
They'll fall just short.
But if they got to 86, that might be good enough based on regulation wins to get them in.
Those are your weekend overreactions. 97.1.